You're listening to the FQXI podcast. That was Jeff Tollickson, Melting Our Brains. You can read more about his work on the website, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.
And in honor of Puffy, Jeff actually told me about another experiment that was recently carried out based on some of these ideas, called the Quantum Cheshire Cat Experiment.
This is going to make my head hurt even more, isn't it?
I think it really might. This experiment was published in Nature Communications, and it harks back to the wonderful image in Alice in Wonderland, in which Alice meets a grinning cat, who eventually disappears, leaving only his grin behind.
Surely they haven't carried out this experiment using cats.
No, they have not. But they have managed to separate a neutron from one of its properties so that the mass of the neutron travelled in one direction, while one of its properties, its magnetic moment, travelled in another. Here's Jeff Tollickson explaining more.
The analogy to the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland is, of course, an analogy. We don't actually do that with cats.
Good to hear that.
To start off, to make it easy, in particular in the first experiment done on this theoretical question, was to try to do the Cheshire Cat on neutrons. So take a neutron and put the neutron itself in, say, the right-hand box. And now the question is, can you take any property of the neutron and separate it from the neutron itself and put it in the left-hand box? And that sounds completely impossible. You shouldn't be able to do that. I mean, the particle owns its properties, right?
So, yeah, I'm just going to keep saying it, I think, as we keep going through this interview. It just sounds so strange and bizarre. But this is an experiment that now has been carried out, looking at a neutron and, I guess, separating it from the property of its magnetic moment in this
right.
experiment. But, you know, when I
right.
sort of I look at that and there's sort of a description of how you kind of send a neutron into a certain kind of apparatus, which in which it can kind of take one of two paths. And the neutron ends up in one path and its magnetic moment ends up taking a different path before, I guess, they're reunited again at the end of the experiment. But, just even reading that, I can't even sort of picture in my head what it means for a magnetic moment to be traveling by itself like this, Cheshire Cat's grin going through the apparatus. How is this property existing and moving around on its own without anything to kind of attach itself to and anything to kind of express that property?
Then you could also just think about it in an operational sense, meaning that, well, anything that couples to that property, meaning anything that attempts to measure that property or attempts to interact with that property, all such forces, interactions, measurements, etc., will see a situation in which the mass of the particle is on the right-hand side. Nevertheless, there is no, in this case, spin. There is no magnetic field of the property in the right-hand side.
Mm.
Yet all of those forces and interactions and measurements and so on and so forth, anything that would attempt to couple to the spin, an arbitrary number of such interactions and measurements, so on and so forth, they will all see that the spin is in the left-hand box. However, that just tells you, what's the experimental result. It doesn't necessarily give you any intuition as to what is going on underneath those empirical results.
And so maybe this will sort of help explain why it's so difficult to visualize, because for this experiment to make sense or for you to actually know that it has succeeded, you have to run the entire experiment. And then after having done that, you then kind of analyze the situation to infer that during the experiment, the neutron and its magnetic moment or its spin have separated along different paths. But it's something that you can only understand when you look back after sort of collecting the results and try to interpret what happened. but it's not something that the experimenters aren't actually sort of sitting there looking at the neutron going through the experiment and in real time saying, oh, look, I can see a neutron there and I can see, you know, its properties somewhere else.
This is an extremely important point, Zia, because for a number of reasons, because the practical way of doing these experiments is that you collect all the different results. You know, you have like a bin, right? You have a bin of all the different possible results. And then later in time, and this could be arbitrarily later in time, by the way, we do another strong measurement and we sort out, we say, okay, this particle satisfies this post-selection measurement, right? And then when you look at what's left, when you look at the actual results of the measurements that you did in an intermediate time, for those cases, you will see that they then satisfy this Cheshire Cat principle.
And then let me ask you, I mean, you know, this is just something, you know, the experiment is just exciting in itself because, you know, it's shown that this strange effect actually can happen. But are there any practical applications of this that we could exploit somehow?
Well, that's, yeah, people have been discussing that. We've proposed a few possible ideas as to practical applications. You can imagine situations, for example, applying this to precision measurements, for example. So there may be situations where you're trying to measure something on a particle, but one of the properties of that particle becomes the source of noise, for example, and is the thing that's sort of messing up your precision measurement. And so it may be the case that by separating the property from the particle itself, you may eliminate that source of noise in doing your precision measurements. And if that works, there's possibilities that you could apply this in the quantum information field. For example, you know, the big problem there is decoherence, you know, that you have situations where you lose the quantum coherence of your qubit. And so it may turn out that the source of decoherence is one of these properties, like, you know, the spin, the magnetic field, and the neutron case. And so by simply spatially separating away that source of decoherence, you could end up using that as a tool to solve, practically speaking, one of the biggest problems in either building a quantum computer or building quantum cryptographic devices and so on and so forth.
That was Jeff Tollickson. Suddenly it all makes sense. This is why Puffy never grins. He's been involved in some kind of quantum experiment that has separated his sense of humor from the rest of him.
Of course, we must stress that no animals were harmed during the making of this podcast.
So thank you once again to Andrew Jordan, Carlo Ravelli, Nosin Yanofsky, Sophie Hebden, and Jeff Tollickson. If you want to contact us, then as always, you can reach us on Twitter at FQXI or email us at podcast@fqxi.org.
He's been Brendan Foster.
She's been Zia Morali.
And he's been Puffy the Cat.